Well, everybody, this is the sixth lecture for the first unit of the online apostolic school currently being developed. And so we've had five already, and we've discussed our place in history relative to the progress of the church, where the church will go, although we'll do a little bit more yet on where the church is going. We've been discussing apostles. And that's the last two lectures. We were looking really at the character of apostles and the importance of apostles. And of course, lectures such as this, being brief as they are, can only look at some highlights and direct you to other reading and to more study and to more prayer. The scriptures is full of such vital information. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, bit by bit, it just comes alive. But it's very important that we look at this subject of counterfeit apostles. And it sounds dark and awful, and in some ways it is, but fortunately, a subject like this has a redemptive quality to it. It's amazing how in looking at a subject like this, we can become so inspired about real apostles and see all the more clearly the grace that's in it. So the contrast helps us. Plus we need to have the warnings and the wisdom that comes. And so we'll look at the subject. And I feel it's vital because, look, when I wrote my first book, not only at the time, 2002, but in the 5 or 6 or 7 years leading up to that, my first book was The Apostolic Revelation. I knew that I was meant in the Holy Spirit to write that book about the Reformation of the Church, and that would particularly highlight the Reformation of apostles, and that apostles would be restored who had great authority, great responsibility for leadership, great responsibility for the care of the church and to prepare the church properly for Christ, and not to touch the church in a personal way, but to present her to Christ and in all holiness and godliness. And that this was hugely important, and that for this purpose these would be given great authority, great power. And I knew that a day was fast approaching. This is my thinking in 95 through the year 2000. I knew that a day was fast approaching when the great anointing for this would be poured out. But I also knew that when an anointing like that is poured out and grace is given for something, there are some people who run amok with it. You know, it's the thing in which there's freedom to run with, and new ideas, new powers, new freedoms. And I really felt that part of the purpose of writing that book was to lay down clearly the specifics, the principles of what apostles are and what they are not, and to put in place the safety fences, if you like, the rails under which this thing was meant to run if it was truly in Christ. That's what the book set out to do. And I'm still getting, letters, responses from people all over the world. I had a note from someone in Africa this week. I can't remember whether it was from Mozambique or from Botswana, somewhere like that. But he was thanking me for that book that they've been studying and which has helped them so much find a right spirit in the work of the ministry there. Well, I thank God for that. The book was meant to have that purpose. So, however, yes, that great anointing did begin to get poured out. And yes, we have in the world today some who are running with that new terminology and these new ideas, and yet they don't fully understand it, still operating by old methods, and many of these are not actually called to be apostles at all, but we'll look at that in these next few moments. I want to point out to you one scripture in beginning, and this is the verse that sits in Revelation chapter 2. In Revelation chapter 2 and 3, Jesus wrote 7 letters to 7 churches, commending where he could and correcting and so on and so forth, giving direction. In his letter to the Ephesian church, we read this. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the 7 stars in his right hand and walks among the 7 golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Now this was his list of things that Jesus was commending that church for. He He went on to take them to task for having lost their first love and called them to repent. But he lists here things that he was commending them for, and clearly on the list amongst their perseverance and their hard work was this thing that he commended as being a very important thing, where he states, I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. Now, two things to be said about that. First of all, it makes it really clear, makes it apparent, that the sorting out of false apostles from true apostles is a hugely important thing to do, and a very significant work for the church of any given city. Because the local church, that is the church of Ephesus in its day, was the church of the whole city, not just a congregation. But this work of discerning, even testing, now it says, tested those who claim to be apostles. It implies that anybody who wants to function in that needs to be seen to be approved, needs to be seen to be really the genuine article. And so it makes it clear here that this is hugely important, and we'll find out why. The truth is that the position of an apostle, if accorded to someone, is a position of unmatched authority in terms of giving leadership to the church, correction, direction to the church, receiving from the church, you know, a hearing and obedience. This is a position of huge and unmatched authority and should only be given to those who have thoroughly been tested by Christ and approved by him and positioned by him and tested by the church and found to be true. But how do you test them? See, this passage that highlights the significant importance of so testing doesn't tell us how to test. And most Christians, if you ask them, how do you test to find out whether someone's an apostle or not, they wouldn't have a clue. Because, you know, you're kind of stumped for ideas the moment that question comes up. Because you think, well, the Bible doesn't really tell us. But the truth is, of course, it does tell us. But it tells us by laying out, not just in a sentence or a little list of dot points, but by laying out the whole picture of the grace of Christian life and leadership, we're supposed to look at that and say, well, apostles surely will exemplify this whole way of life. For example, when Jesus said, we've already discussed it in previous lectures, when Jesus said to his 12, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle. All these principles are built up in the Holy Scripture. But the summary probably is best found in the words of Jesus, where in speaking about the fact that there would be vicious wolves amongst the flock and there'd be false teachers, false prophets, that kind of thing. Remember the thing that Jesus said, you will know them by their fruit. In other words, what is the character of their lives? How do they treat people? What kind of holiness do they live out? Of what kind of example are they to the brethren? The humility, the simplicity, the devotion of their lives. How to what degree are they really surrendered to Christ? To what degree is this a safe person of whom you could say they're following Christ and they're safe to follow? So these are the tests. By their fruit, you'll know them. However, because it is a position of unmatched authority. It's a position that claims the authority of Christ to speak to the church. It's not trying to control the church. We're not talking fleshly control. We're talking spiritual authority. The church is meant to receive their apostles, cooperate with them, give their heart to apostles in the same way that apostles give their heart to the church. All this is written in Holy Scripture.